Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eavesdropping on other people's conversations is never the polite thing to do. In fact, it's liable to get you a pretty dirty look and maybe mind your own business. Reading other people's mail is even worse. You didn't just happen to overhear what Sally said to Sam. You pried into their private conversation. That being said, there are exceptions to the rule. Some conversations, in fact, are meant to be overheard. Some letters are meant to be open and read by anyone whose hands they happen to fall into. Take, for example, the Bible. Conversations between God and his prophets, between the prophets and the people of God, and between the people of God and their God are meant to be overheard. In fact, it's the right thing to do. Opening and reading the prophet's mail and the apostles' letters really should be done a whole lot more than we actually do it. This morning, we have overheard a message that John the Baptist sent to Jesus and eavesdropped on a conversation of a message that Jesus sent to John. And rather than being told to just mind our own business, Jesus, at the end of it all, says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So if you will permit this, I have just this week come into the possession of two letters that I would like to share with you. The first is a letter from John the Baptist, written to his cousin Jesus of Nazareth. It reads, "Dear Jesus, I am writing this letter to you from my prison cell in Herod's fortress, where I have been held now for several weeks. I was arrested by Herod's soldiers for preaching against the king's adulterous lifestyle. Some of the guards here have told me that if I were to apologize and recant for all that I have said, and promised never to speak against the king again, that I could be released, pardoned, and set free. But I am not willing to sell my soul to save my flesh. My hope is in the Lord, and I am convinced that when he comes, he will make all things right, even as the prophets have promised. He will set the prisoners free. And so in hope, I wait for the Lord. Besides, what else would I do? I was called to be a prophet of the Lord from birth. How many times can I remember my father, Zechariah, repeating the story of the day that the angel told him that I must be named John because I was going to be a prophet? You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. When the time came, I went into the wilderness and began to preach that the long-awaited Messiah was at hand. And I called people to repent of their sinful living and return to a life of faith. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be thrown into the fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If you were to judge my work by the great crowds that came and listened to me preach and to be baptized, you would have to say that I was a successful prophet. But now I am in prison. And I'm beginning to wonder, what was it really all about? I'm beginning to have some doubts about myself, but mostly doubts about whether or not you really are the long-awaited promised Messiah. And so my question, Jesus, is, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? From all the stories that I was told by my mother, Elizabeth, repeatedly so, I was much more sure about you when we were both just fetuses in the womb than I am right now. Just a year ago, when you came to me at the Jordan River, where I was preaching, you wanted to be baptized. And I baptized you, and I was so sure that you were the one. And my confidence soared when I saw the dove that came out of nowhere land on you. And when I heard that majestic voice from the sky say, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." But I always thought that when the Messiah would come, things would change. Everything would change. I thought that when he came, he would come with great power and with might and rule with justice and equities for the people. I thought that he would overthrow the kings of the earth and the rulers that take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah. I thought that the Messiah would break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But look at me. The king continues to rule unjustly, and he continues to boast about his immorality. And the heathen boasts that there is no God, and God's people are suffering persecution for their faith. And look at me. Here I am rotting away in prison unjustly, and everything seems to be just as it's always been, if not worse. I was so sure. I was certain, as long as everything was going well, and everything just seemed to be blessed by God. But now I'm not so sure. Even though I preach to others, and even though others say that I am a great preacher, I myself do not see things as clearly as I should. And so I am ashamed of my doubts, and I long to be rid of them. Both so that my witness to others may not be so weak, so hypocritical, and so that I may be content and at peace even while I am in these chains. So tell me, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? I am sending this letter to you by two of my trusted disciples. I pray that you would receive them as though you were receiving me, your loving cousin and servant, John. The other letter reads as follows. My dear cousin John, I received your letter from your disciples. They tell me that you are doing well under the circumstances and that you are bearing faithful witness to the truth by your imprisonment for the gospel. They tell me that some whom you baptized in the wilderness work in Herod's palace, and that they attend to you with service in love as much as is possible. They are also telling me that you continue to bear witness to the truth even in prison, and that more than a few of Herod's officials and servants have come to faith and have been baptized because of your preaching. My dear John, even though you have been locked up, the kingdom of God is advancing through you because God's word cannot be locked up, and your faithful testimony under persecution is a powerful witness. You ask me if I am the coming one, or if there is another whom you should expect. I will answer your question in this way. In every generation, there have been false prophets who have claimed to be the promised Messiah, who really weren't, and many were deceived. Long ago, when my people were in the wilderness of Sinai, they asked the very same question that you are now asking. How may we know the word of the Lord that he has not spoken? And Moses replied to them, saying that when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you need not believe him. Ever since Moses, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord have promised what the Messiah would do when he comes into the world. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. These would be the signs to look for, and that would certify that he is the one. If the one who claimed to be Messiah never did these things, then he is not to be believed. But John, I am doing these things. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Let these things that I am doing be the evidence to you that I am who I am. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, just as you announced in the wilderness. But do not be deceived, John. My kingdom does not come all at once, as many suppose. It is like a mustard seed, that though it is the smallest of seeds, it becomes a great tree, but over time, and its branches move out further and further, season by season, and it bears fruit year after year. For now, my kingdom is like a field sown with good seed, which also contains many weeds. And the weeds and the wheat grow up together. And for now, my kingdom is not irresistible, and many will resist it and even threaten to harm the faithful. But do not lose heart. There will come a time of reckoning and judgment when the wheat will be separated from the weeds, just like a fisherman separates good fish from bad. But that will not happen until the last day. And the last day is being delayed until the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, and the lost are found and returned, and the elect are gathered into the harvest, so that many may be saved, so that my banquet hall may be filled, and so that my Father's joy may be complete. So, John, do not grow weary, and do not despair that your faithfulness has been rewarded with suffering and persecution. For I too will suffer and be imprisoned unjustly. And the governor will permit my death, even as he will permit yours, John. But I will be raised again on the third day, and you will be with me in paradise. And your faith will receive the reward of eternal life. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. In the meantime, John, remain faithful and believe the word that has been given to you and that you have preached so faithfully. You will not see me again until you see me in glory, when everything shall be visible, and you will know fully, even as you are fully known. Then the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Until then, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, John, neither let it be afraid. Peace be with you, your cousin, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Isaiah the prophet says, and we eavesdrop on his conversation with Israel, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. We read the letter to James to the church. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.